talking to Brother Simone before the service, and he spent some glorious time in the mountains of Pennsylvania. He didn't want to leave any building at any time. But he said you didn't go out on the lake, did you? You didn't go out on the lake. Or you did? You did. You walked on water. Yeah, on ice. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes. That's a fresh experience for him. Never seen snow before. Welcome to America. Yes. It's great to have the Hawkings and Brother Simone back with us again. Brother Hawking is going to take the service right now. We're glad to have you and your wife with us. We look forward to what the Lord has laid on your hearts this evening. Brother Hawking.
It's a joy for us to be here again. As always, Betty and I enjoy being here and fellowshipping with you and being able to present to you some of the blessings of the Lord. And it's not every time that Pastor Simone comes that we're able to have him in Florida. He has noticed that there is a difference between Florida and Pennsylvania. Now he knows why many Pennsylvanians have come to become Floridians. I think that some of you have had problems like I have with the laptops and the computers. Certainly you have not had a very easy time with those things, and we have a hard time with them. In fact, Simon left with me a laptop to get fixed. It's still not fixed, and he's not able to take it back. Laptops in Cameroon have a lot of trouble. But I have a story to tell you of laptops and the problems they have, just to let you know of the frustration of missionaries with laptops. A shepherd was tending his flock in a remote pasture when suddenly a brand new Jeep Cherokee appeared out of a dust cloud, advanced toward him, and stopped. The driver, a 20-something fella, wearing a Briani suit, Gucci shoes, Ray-Ban sunglasses, and a YSL tie, leaned out of the window and asked the shepherd, "If I can tell you exactly how many sheep you have in your flock, will you give me one?" The shepherd looked at the young guy, then at his peacefully grazing flock, and calmly answered, "Sure." The young man parked his car, whipped out his notebook computer, connected it to a cell phone, surfed to a NASA page on the internet, where he called up a GPS satellite navigation system. He scanned the area, he opened up a database and some Excel spreadsheets with complex formula. He finally printed out a 15-page report on his high-tech miniaturized printer, turned around to our shepherd and said, "You have exactly 1,586 sheep." Amazing. "That's correct." "Like I agreed," said the shepherd, "you can have one of my sheep." The shepherd watched the man as he made a selection and bundled it into his Cherokee. When he was finished, the sheep herder said, "If I can tell you exactly what your political persuasion is, who you worked for, and who you now work for, will you give me back my sheep?" "Okay, why not?" answered the young man. "You're a Democrat, and you worked for Kerry, and you now work for Howard Dean." "Wow," said the young man. "That's correct. How did you ever guess that?" "Oh, easy," answered the shepherd. "Nobody called you, but you showed up anyway. You want to be paid for providing a solution to a question I already know the answer to. And you clearly don't know squat about what you're doing. Will you give me my dog back?" Well, we have troubles with our computers in Africa. It's a joy for me to introduce Pastor Simon. I would like to say just a word about the things outside. I want you to look carefully at some of those things. You will find a Mary's chain. It's all wood. It was made out of, I'm telling you the truth now, it was made out of one piece of wood. All carved. You have a man and a woman at the end of the chain. You have the links of the chain. That was all made out of one piece of wood. There's nothing that is glued together. It is beautiful. But it teaches a truth. It was done by Christians in the Northwest at Bamenda. And it teaches the truth that there is one man and one woman who are united until death do them part. And I would like for you to look at that. And we also put out there a June 2004 edition of the newsletter, which is an explanation of Pastor Simo and his wife, Yvette. And as you know, he has seven children. And I thank the Lord for the program that they have, because he isn't away from his ministry more than 1 month or 1 month and a half at the most. He isn't away from his wife and children more than that. Because I don't like the program where you take a man out of Africa, you put him in school from September until June, and so he loses his ministry and he's away from his wife and children for 9 months. I don't think that's good. But I like the program that they have, and we thank the Lord for it. Pastor Seymour has now finished two sessions, and he has four more to go. Fortunately, the next one is in June, not in February. And then after that, one in October, where it's still fall and it's not too cold. We will certainly pray for him next February in 2006. But at any rate, God has richly blessed his church, his local church, and his district. We have nine districts of churches in Cameroon. Now, his is not the biggest, but because of Pastor Simon's heart for leaders, for pastors and church leaders, his district has more pastors and more church leaders than any other district. And right now, through his ministry, we have two more students at the seminary, one that just came in, which is unusual at midterm. And so there are two there from the Etun area. And by the way, somebody asked how many languages he speaks. He speaks four well, and he knows five languages. He can understand five languages and four well. So he's ahead of us. Betty and I only speak three, and he still wants us to learn probably Wundu so that we can converse with both the Bulu and the Etan. We haven't done that yet. But he hasn't given up on us, even though we are a little older than we used to be. But the Lord has been richly blessing his ministry so that he is not only interested in seeing people taught the Word of God, but in also seeing local churches planted and growing. His own local church has grown just in this past year from 50 attending to 85 attending regularly. So God has been blessing his ministry in many, many ways. And he's had a real influence on the students at the seminary. As some of you may know, he is the interim president. He cannot be the official president as yet. And so I'm still the official president, although he's doing all the work. Pretty nice deal, you know. But he has to have his doctor before he can be official. That is a government regulation now. You say, where in the world do they get that idea? We don't have that idea in America. No, they don't. But they have it in France. And remember that Cameroon was colonized by France. So they have adopted most of the laws of France too in Cameroon. And that's a new requirement. Now, not only does he have to have his doctorate, but basically we have to have two other men with their doctorates in order to be able to continue on as a seminary and not have us demoted to a school of theology or a Bible institute. So we're excited about that. And Lord willing, in October, we'll have our second man. And we'll have to wait probably a couple of years before we get our third man, but we're pretty excited about it. And tonight he is going to speak to you and tell you how he came to know Christ, how the Lord called him into his service, and three of the biggest problems that we have in Africa today. Lord bless you, Pastor Seymour.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dan Hawking, and thank you so much for the whole church here. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ.
Merci.
I am a little bit confused, and I have a problem with you, American. Back home in Africa, when I
I tell you, I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. The whole congregation replied, Amen. But I was a little bit confused back in Baptist Bible Seminary. One of the teachers asked me to present the ministry in Africa. And before the other students, I told them, I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody replied. This morning, in Keystone Bible Church, I told the same thing. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. No reply. And now, in Central Florida Baptist Bible Church, I tell you, I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. It is a great privilege for me to be with you, and I'm very thankful to the Lord and to you all for the fellowship we can have in Christ. This is the second time for me to come here. Last time, when I was here, I was supposed to go to Clark Summit, Pennsylvania Baptist Bible Seminary, to start the studies for my doctorate degree. And when I reached Clark Summit, I was with Dr. Don Hawking and Mrs. Hawking. And after a while, they left to go back to Old Smyrna. And I was alone. And I can tell you that I had a very hard time. I felt alone. Even the first night I was in my dorm, I was crying. I felt that I was very far from my native land, very far from any relative. But I'm very thankful to the Lord, because that evening the Holy Spirit brought one scripture to my mind. Can you read with me Matthew chapter 10? Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And I told to myself, I think this is the time for me to prove to God that I love Him and I gave my life to serve Him. And if I have to be separated from my family for a while, I think it doesn't matter. I will do what you want me to do, Lord. And we were singing a song a while ago, I will go everywhere you want me to go. And I was very, very, very comforted with this scripture that day. And I spent 3 weeks, 2 weeks for the courses and 1 week to perform my assignment. And the first course was on developing leadership skills. And the second course was on communicating methods that connect with the congregation. And I went back home and I started to use the lessons, the materials on my ministry. I went to my local church. I have introduced some changes, delegating the responsibility to some members of the local churches. And I started to see how God can work in one's ministry. And I know that people were praying for me, not only in Africa, but also here in the United States. And just to tell you some results, to share with you some results, the local church and Kontima grew from 50 people on Sunday attendance to 85 people. And 14 came to trust the Lord and were baptized. And at the same time, three people were under discipline, under probation. And two of them started to manifest the will to come back to the fellowship. And before I left, in the month of January, they were restored to the fellowship. And even the prayer meeting, you can see the Holy Spirit working in the congregation. We have changed how we organize the prayer meeting. We have divided the prayer meeting in some small groups so that every member can pray. And in the past, I can say 30% of the members used to come to the prayer meeting. And when I left, 85% people now are coming to the prayer meeting. And you can see how the Holy Spirit is working. And even at the seminary, you know, last semester, the fall semester, we had 9 students. And for the spring semester, now you have 11 students. So I'm very thankful to you who are praying for me, for my ministry back in Africa. While I was there, I have realized that there are some general problems in the ministry. I want to share with you. I call it general problems. It is not only problems to my ministry. I think it is the problems of to everyone ministry. If you go to Africa and you want to work there, you will face those problems. The first problem to the ministry in Africa, in Cameroon, and all over Africa is the problem of personnel. People with whom you must do the work of the ministry. Every time when the ministry is growing, you will be in need of people. If you see in Acts chapter 6, we can read Acts chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 7. I think it is a common problem every time when the ministry is growing. From verse 1. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrew by the Hellenists, because their widows were not neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable to that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give our service continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And so on. You need people with whom you have to serve. There is a lot of work to do in Africa, in Cameroon. And I cannot do it alone. I need people who can serve with me in the ministry. The work with the local churches and the work in the seminary We need people to work in the local churches. We need people to work in the seminary. We need personnel to serve for the seminary. And there is a need for teachers in the seminary. There is a need even for the administration of the seminary. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked us to pray. He is the master of the harvest. But I think, yes, the solution is to pray. But there is one thing else I want to share with you. If you can open the Bible with me in Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. We need to pray for the Lord to send people in the harvest. But there is something there. Exodus 35, verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, and all manner of workmanship." And if you read chapter 36, verse 1, "And Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded." My point when I read this is that, yeah, we need to have people in the service. But we must take care to put right people in the right place. Because sometimes we can put right people in wrong places or wrong people in right places, and the minister will suffer if we do like that. So you need to pray for God to give wisdom, to give wisdom to me and to others who are serving with me, how to put people in each place for the work of the ministry. And one of the solutions is that, and I am thankful to the Lord for that, that God has opened the door for me to come to Bible, to Baptist Bible Seminary, and to work on my doctorate of ministry. But we still have some in Cameroon. They have their master's degree, and they can also come to work on their doctorate degree. So you need to pray also for that. And I also have a problem in the administration of the seminary. You know, I am a teacher. I am a pastor. I am a student. I am a husband of one wife with seven children. It's a very busy ministry. It's very, very busy. And I need people in the administration of the seminary. Particularly in the domain of finance. I don't think that God gave me the gift to handle money. I don't think that. And I need someone who can do that work. And I was talking to Dr. Don Hawking and his wife, and I told them that I think you need to come back to Africa and try to stay and handle this problem of money. We have problem with finance in Africa. So I was talking to them. I told them, I still need you. I want you to come. If you can stay, maybe we will look for someone you can teach how to manage money. But personally, I don't think that I have the gift to do this work. So that is the first problem, the problem of personnel, the problem of people, faithful people who can help in the work of the ministry. The second problem I want to share with you is the problem of health. Health. Can you read with me Matthew chapter 8? Matthew chapter 8. verse 14 and 15. Matthew 8, 15 and 14 and 15. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. Do you see the end of the verse 15? And she arose and served him and served them. She could not serve the Lord Jesus Christ while she was sick. And I believe that people cannot properly serve the Lord Jesus if they are sick. And the problem is that Africa is attacked by all kinds of sicknesses. The one you know is malaria. Malaria is number one. But we can do with it. And we also have typhoid because pure water is not available everywhere. It is not easy to have pure water. And we also have AIDS. And you will have people always come to you and tell you that I am sick. Can you help me? Can you help me? And we need to help people. And to help people with this problem, we have medical clinics in our campus, in the seminary. We have the medical clinics. And even with the medical clinics, we face a problem, the problem of medicine, the problem of drugs. So, and even the problem of personnel. We also need people who can work in the medical clinics. And when people come to me and ask me to help them because they are sick, God always put in my mind 1 John chapter 3, verse. Let's read 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. From verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world good and sees his brother in need, and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So, with this kind of scripture, I think we need to do something to help people. And that's why we have the medical clinics. And the medical clinics need to function. And for the medical clinic to function, we need, you can pay to have nurses, even a medical doctor, and we also need drugs in the clinics and all kinds of supply materials for the clinic to work. That is the second problem we will face in Africa. And the third problem I want to share with you is the problem of visit. Can we read Acts chapter 15? Acts 15, 36. Verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. We need to plant local churches. And when I am reading this verse, it means that we also need to visit them to see how they are doing. And our ministry is not only in Cameroon. We have local churches in Central African Republic. We have some fellow churches in Chad. We have some in Nigeria. Our ministry is involved in four countries in Central Africa, Africa area. And we need to visit them because we must see how they are doing. And second, there is a problem of the charismatic movement everywhere. And you know that when people are sick, they are inclined to go to the charismatic movement where they promise them to pray for them and heal them, to perform miracles for them. They are inclined to go. And we need to teach them, to teach people that what is the truth of the Bible, for them to stand firm on the truth. So you have to visit all these people. And last December, I went to Chad to have a seminar on leadership with the leaders, deacons and pastors. And it was very wonderful to be with these people. I had two seminaries. I had one seminary in the capital, N'Djamena, and I had 85 leaders with me, the first meeting. So I spent 3 days with them teaching on leadership, how to lead local churches, how to organize the work of the ministry. And after that, I went to another city, Sar. It is about 300 miles away from N'Djamena. And it's very difficult. Transportation is very difficult because of the bad roads. And when I went to Chad, I had to pay my transportation. I went by public transportation. I had to pay my transportation. And in Sar, I had a seminary with 120 leaders. And people were very excited to be taught on the Word of God. You can feel that they need and they want to be taught on the Word of God. And on January, I went to Central African Republic. And it is very difficult to go there by public transportation. I could not pay my round trip plane ticket because Cameroon Airlines has only one plane. It is very, very irregular. You cannot plan your trip and do it as you want to do. So I had to take with me the van of the seminary. And the van of the seminary was not appropriate. So I did a great mistake. There was a very great, I made a wrong decision to take the van of the seminary. And I fell into a lot of problems. But by God's grace, I reached Bangui and I came back by God's grace. And there it was also, it was too a successful ministry. In Bangui, I had a seminary with 65 leaders. And during 3 days, and I went to Mbaiki. Mbaiki is 70 miles away from Bangui from Bangui to Mbaiki. It is 70 miles. And I went there, and there I had a seminary with 75 leaders. And everywhere you can see people, they want to be taught. And I'm thankful to the Lord because at Mbaiki, I got someone there. He has his master in theology. And he wants to come to the Cameroon Biblical Seminary. to, no, he has his bachelor in theology, and he wants to come to the to Cameroon Biblical Seminary to work on his master on theology. But as you know, the country is very poor, very poor. So we need to pray for him to find his tuition, scholarship, and so on, to come to the seminary. So that's one of the problems. You need to visit people if you want to keep in fellowship with them. If you want if you want them to be firm on the truth of the Word of God, you have to visit them. So we have these three problems: the problem of health, the problem of personnel, and the problem of visit. Let me share with you a bit what is Cameroon, my country, Cameroon. Cameroon is located on the east coast, on the west coast of Africa, on the Atlantic Ocean. And we have two official languages. We have French and we have English. But we have more than 200 dialects. More than 200. If you come to Cameroon to do the work of the ministry, you can know French, you can know English, but you need to learn at least one dialect to be efficient to your ministry. And I know three of them. My native language is Eton, and I know Ewondo, and I can also understand Bulu. Because everybody did not go to school. So even if you are in the English-speaking area, you will find some people, they don't know true English. They have their own English. They call it Pidgin, Pidgin English. So you need to learn one of these languages. And French-speaking, it is three-fourths of the country. English-speaking is one-fourth of the country. Religious aspect, Christian, we have 45%. Catholic, Protestant, all of this. That's what I call Christian. And Muslim, 25% of the population. And others, 30%. But one, what is very, very important to know is that we have never had a religious war. In some other countries in Africa, we have religious war, like in Nigeria. Every time you will hear that there is a war between Muslim and Christian and so on. But we have never had it in Cameroon. Cameroon is a peaceful country. And the cultural aspect, we have a great diversity in Cameroon, a great diversity. But we have three major groups. We have what we call the Bantu group, and I am from the Bantu group. We have also the Arabic group. That is the northern part of the country. All the northern part of the country is the Arabic group. And we also have the Eastern Negritic group. And in the Eastern Negritic group, we have one group, we call them Pygmy. They live in the forest. And that is one of the group in Cameroon who has never heard the gospel, because they are living in the forest and it is very difficult to have access to them. But they need the gospel. And one of the things you must know is that Cameroon is relationship-oriented and not task-oriented. What do I mean by relationship-oriented? We like to interact with people. We like to interact with people. And one of my classmates in Baptist Bible Seminary asked me, He told me, do you miss your family? I told him, yeah, I miss my wife. I miss my children. And he asked me, if your wife is here and your children are here, will you stay quiet? I told him that I don't think so. Even if my wife is here or my children, I don't think so, because in Africa we have what we call large family. I will be concerned for my father, I will be concerned for my mother, my aunt, my cousin, and so on and so on. I will be concerned for them. I want to see them. I want to be with them. So we are relationship oriented. That's why we have what we call a large family. And one of the things is that we are also event oriented and not time oriented. I know that you American people, you are time oriented. When you tell that the worship service is at 9, everybody will be here at 9. But in Africa, some people will come at 9:30, some at 10. But the problem is that they will attend the event. If you have a work day, for example, and you tell to people that we will start to work at 9. Here in America, I know that everybody will be there at 9. But in Africa, they will come at 9:30, at 10. But they will do the work. They will do the work. That's what I call event-oriented. And one of the things also, we are concealment of vulnerability-oriented. Just an illustration. If I do something wrong to you, you need to call me and talk with me in private. And if you try to rebuke me in public, we will have problem. I will have a lot of problem with you. So we like to talk in private. We can settle our problems in private. The political aspect, we have a presidential regime, political stability, but you have many political parties. And if you want to come to Cameroon to plant local churches, you need an official recognition, and we call it état civil. It is issued by the president of the republic. But we have the laity of state. It is in our constitution, the laity of state. And when you have the état civil, you are free to preach the gospel everywhere you want in Cameroon. That is one of the good things we have in Cameroon. Maybe you will have some questions to ask, but that's what I have to share with you. And in conclusion, what I can tell you is that brother and sister, Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and save the sinner. And I was one of the sinners. And Jesus Christ saved me. And I know that if you are a sinner, if you know that you are a sinner, Jesus Christ is there. He can save you right now. Right now, he can save you. But if you are a child of God, if you are a child of God, pray and seek to glorify God in your life. And how can you glorify God in your life? You have to look for ways and means to be involved in his ministry in the world. We have many people in local churches today. Many people in local churches today. They come on Sunday. They can sing. They can be there on Sunday. But the rest of the week, they don't mind about God's work. But God wants every one of us to be involved in his ministry. So Jesus Christ is saving people all over the world. He has a wonderful ministry all over the world. And as you were singing a while ago, I'll go everywhere you want me to go. And I can tell you, brother and sister, that Jesus Christ needs you. Even if you don't go, you can pray. You can share the ministry by what you have. You have gifts, spiritual gifts, material gifts. You can share that for the work of the ministry. And by the way, I'm very thankful for your local churches. I have received some letters from the Edwards, and I was very, very encouraged. He knows to speak to my heart. He is not here, but you can tell him that. And I love you. I am very thankful to what you have done for me. I think I was able to be in Baptist Bible Seminary and to have some of my bills paid because of your local church. And I'm very thankful for that. May God bless you. I love you.
As some of you know, Pastor Simon is my son in the faith. And I'm pretty excited about that. And we're hoping that we're going to have many more who are going to go on and to keep the seminary going. I'm not sure just how long Betty and I can keep going. Some of you may not know this, but we have been in Africa longer than any Grace Bible missionary that's ever gone there. We did have a man that was there 40 years. My wife and I will be celebrating 50 years in November the 22nd. But we know, too, that we're... you remember the song, "The Old Gray Mare Ain't What She Used to Be"? Well, we changed that song. It's called "The Old Gray Missionary Ain't What He Used to Be Either." But some of you have asked about my eye, so I've got to tell you about my eye. We had an operation, as you know, December 16th, what they call a cornea replacement. And on January the 10th, we had another operation in which they took out two stitches and put in four. And we've had all kinds of problems. So last week, they had a complete examination of my retina. I think you know the retina is at the back of the eye and the cornea is at the front of the eye. And they found out that there's absolutely nothing wrong with the retina. I thank the Lord for that, because if there was something wrong with the retina, then it would really require a very delicate operation. And so the doctor did tell me that I couldn't leave March the 16th. That's why we're here tonight. So we asked if we could change the ticket, and in God's grace, they changed our ticket completely and didn't charge anything for it. And you know, some of you know that that's not easy. So we are leaving May 18th, and the doctor said, it looks like you will not be able to see very well in your left eye anymore. And we know that the Lord led us to do this. We had a lot of prayer about it, and the doctor felt that he could do something to improve my eyesight. Unfortunately, since the operation, it has not improved. It's gone the other way. So we are still planning to go back May 18th. And we just commit that problem with the eye of the Lord. We have found out since then that some people take 6 months for the eye to develop and to get to the place where they can see. And the doctor says, I'm still praying that, by the way, he's a born-again believer. He said, I'm still praying that God's going to give you 20/40 vision. And right now it's 20/100. Before the operation, it was 20/60. But yes, I can see a little bit. In fact, I can see the word exit up there because it's nice and big. But I can't read. I can't read the Bible or anything with the left eye. But the Lord has given me a good right eye, and we're using that. And that also enables me to drive and to do a lot of things. And I'll never forget when I first had my problem with my left eye, when I fell in the Central African Republic on that eye and snapped the retina. I was kind of discouraged. And I was lying there in my bed, realizing now that I had to go home, that I had to quit my teaching, and I had to go back and have a retina operation. And a missionary that only has one eye who had his eye destroyed when he was working in a milk truck. He was delivering milk, and the truck ran over that part of his eye, and he lost his eye. And he said, "Well, Don, you can really do quite a bit with one eye." And, you know, I found that out. You can do quite a bit with one eye. And I also know that, you know, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. All things work together for good. And some of the things that we're doing now, we could not have done if we'd gone back March 16th. And so we thank the Lord that He still makes all things work together for His good and for His glory. And that's our desire. And as you know, the pastors ask that we come back. The African pastors have asked that too. And sometimes I smile because these pastors want Betty to teach them English. You know, Betty's an English teacher. She taught English here in the States before she went with me to Cameroon. And sometimes I think they want Betty to come back more than they do me. But anyway, sometime when we come here, I told a lady tonight that sometime when we come here, we're going to have Betty speak. I think that you ought to hear her testimony and how the Lord led her to give her life to the Lord for Africa before we were engaged. And it wasn't just that she was following me. It was that God called both of us and brought us together. And it was great to celebrate 50 years of marriage a couple of years ago. We're heading for 52 right now. But we just got an invitation to attend our 50th seminary graduation. We graduated in 1955. And so we're going to be able to attend that. And I will be seeing some of those who graduated with me, who went through the seminary together with me, that I have not seen in 50 years. And they'll see some changes in me, and I'm sure I'll see some changes in them. But we're looking forward to it. But we just want to thank you for your prayers, for your support. It means so much to us. And I'm especially asking you to pray that God is going to give us a vehicle. This is probably one of our greatest prayer requests, that the Lord would provide us a vehicle that we can use. That is a four-wheel drive. Now, we prefer a Toyota car because there are 55% of all the vehicles in Cameroon are Toyotas. So you don't have any problem getting parts. And a Toyota Land Cruiser would do just the trick. But we can also use a Toyota Hilux pickup, double cab. But that can be used for the medical work, can be used for, as he puts it, visits to various places. And that van was not the car to take to Central African Republic. It's only a two-wheel drive. Fortunately, he had with him another pastor by the name of Bassi Raphael, who happens to be a mechanic, who actually went to mechanic school. And when we had a problem, my wife and I, we went up to the Northwest to have a visit up there and to encourage the people up there. We broke down several times, and Bassi Raphael was able to fix it, keep us going. But that's probably one of our greatest needs as he goes back and as we go back, is to have a dependable vehicle that can help us in the ministry out there. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for this time tonight. And let's just stand together as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for what you have done in Cameroon, in the Central African Republic, in Chad, and in Nigeria. We thank you, Father, for all those men who have been trained in the Word of God and who want to continue that study, that training, that they might be more effective servants for Jesus Christ. And Father, we know you're going to use Pastor Simon. And we want many others who will have the heart burden of 2 Timothy 2:2, the burden of Paul, the things that I've committed to you, Timothy, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that is our desire. The years that lie ahead, if Jesus does not return before, that we might be faithful in teaching men and women the Word of God so that they in turn can teach their people. Thank you, Father, for their prayers. I pray that you would continue to bless them and encourage them in what they've heard tonight and what God is doing now in Cameroon for the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.